Good afternoon, brethren. Welcome to the first day of Unleavened Bread. It's a double special Sabbath. It's a weekly Sabbath as well as the first annual Sabbath that we celebrate this year. I want to welcome any guests and those out there in cyberspace. Hope you're all having a very enjoyable first day of Unleavened Bread. Today we are observing the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the first of God's holy days in his plan of salvation for mankind. This was preceded the night before last at sunset by the observance of Passover, with the washing of feet, partaking of the symbols of the bread and the wine representing the blood and the body of Jesus Christ. Then, following this, he was betrayed and crucified, dying so that our sins might be forgiven, and then raised on the third day, so that we may be raised in eternal life in his kingdom at his return. This is a time of reflection, to look into our personal lives, to flesh out the sins that so easily ensnare us. They ensnare us on a daily basis. If confused, just look back and see if you can find, remember a day you or I did not sin in deed or action. I'm not saying it couldn't happen one day. I doubt that it will, but, you know. But most times sin starts in the mind. If we recognize it before it ripens, all the better. This is a constant battle. You've got to get them up, you know. Well, for part of today's message, I will be paraphrasing. From our church's booklet, God's Holy Day Plan, The Promise of Hope for All Mankind. We have some back on the table, I'm sure. We have spent the previous few days and weeks of removing leaven from our homes, our cars, our workspaces the best that we can. And if we work with other people in our workspace, sometimes it's just almost impossible. We do our part. You clean out your desk, you don't worry about theirs, but we have to do our part. But rest assured, it's not all gone. Let's see. Yeah, I don't feel anything. We can look back to see how we are doing compared to this time last year, or last month, a year ago, a month ago, and expect to see great strides in our conversion. There is still more to do, though, to become that mature, perfect being that God is looking for. It's never ending. Just as the dust and the crumbs we find under the couch cushions, in the microwave, or in the toaster, that at first glance, they may not seem so noticeable. So goes our sins. If not repented of, they just simply multiply. You know, it's like the ants. You see one, and guess what? You look behind the ear, and there's more. Or the cockroaches. Let's compare sins to cockroaches. As soon as you get one done, it seems like five more show up. You know, it's a constant battle. They just simply multiply to the point of consuming our whole being, just the same as a small amount of leaven will eventually permeate the whole lump of dough. Again, at first glance, the dough may look like just a gooey mess of flour and water. Yet under the outer layer of the dough, the yeast of the leaven is going through a chemical change that will cause the dough to rise. It is not something just on the outside that can be brushed off, because it's under the crust. Basically, it's hidden out of sight. You can't see it. Our sins are also more than just skin deep, and must be rooted out. These days of unleavened bread are all about coming out of the bondage of slavery or sin. Just as the children of Israel were rescued from the slavery of their Egyptian bondage, though their rescue was physical in nature, our rescue from sin is spiritual. We must go through that spiritual change, just as leaven in the dough is not just skin deep and can be brushed off, neither is sin just skin deep. Though some sins are more obvious than others, and we all know that, we still must spiritually lift the cushions of our minds and vacuum them out. Vacuum out the wrong thoughts and the actions that are so pervasive in our lives. The days of unleavened bread follow immediately on the heels of Passover for a reason. Jesus Christ died at Passover and was then raised during the days of unleavened bread as a reminder of what he had said he would do. He told what was going to happen. He told the Pharisees, he told all the Jews there that, and his disciples what was going to happen. That he would die and be buried in the earth for 3 days and three nights and raised as proof to the validity of his divinity. He died that our sins could be forgiven, was raised that we could also be resurrected at his return to eternal life, which he had already attained. This is proof of what he told the scribes and the Pharisees in Matthew 12, verses 38 to 40, what was about to happen when they asked for a sign. Matthew 12, 38, then some of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you. Tell us what's going to happen." Well, he answered, and then he told them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks a sign, and no sign will be given except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the big fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart or the belly of the earth." Well, it doesn't end here. When we are called by God through Jesus Christ, we are led to repentance, followed by being baptized, representing the being buried with Christ, burying the old man and being raised in the newness of life as a new creation, Jesus Christ living in us. Then begins our journey of conversion. With the help of God's Holy Spirit, which the next holy day of God plans, a plan of salvation, Pentecost represents, God has a plan that starts out small and grows into eventually the kingdom of God. Sin starts small, like a spore of leaven, through the thoughts that are transmitted to us by Satan, the prince of the power of the air, to the point that it will, if unchecked, take over our whole being through the influence of Satan, the one who deceives the whole world. And that in Revelation 12:9. The prince of the power of the air would not have made a lot of sense to most people before the advent of radio, using frequency waves to transmit messages through the air, became into being. Now that we are aware and sometimes too in tune to this mode of messaging, it makes total sense. That's Matthew 13, verses 31 through 33. I'll just read those to you. Matthew 31 says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed into his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds. But when it was grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree so large that the birds of the air can come and nest in its branches." Another parable he spoke to them, "Though the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which woman took and hid in three measures of meal till it was all leavened." The leaven of sin also starts out small, but can and will grow. Garbage in, garbage out, so to speak. In other words, sin in, sin out. In a play on words, we see we sow that we reap, or what we sow we reap. Put another way, when we act upon those thoughts that have been sown in our minds by Satan, sin is produced and reaped. The Feast of Unleavened Bread is a reminder that we need to be constantly on vigilant and nipping into bud those perversive thoughts before they are acted upon and become full-blown sins. We recognize them, we're shown to them, if we act on them right away and get rid of them. I have never a day goes by where I don't tell Satan to get behind me. I have to do that on a constant basis. Because I know if I don't sort of put him in his place, then he will take over my place. Today, removing leaven from our homes and lives for 7 days reminds us, too, through prayer and God's help and understanding, must recognize and expel and avoid sin. The Feast of Unleavened Bread is thus a time of personal reflection. We should meditate on our attitudes and our conduct and ask God to help us to recognize and overcome our shortcomings. How do we rid ourselves of sin in our lives? First, we must know what sin is. It is the transgression of the law. If it were not for the law, we wouldn't know what sin was or is. We learn by doing. We learn spiritual lessons by physical things. Performing the task of de-leavening our homes reminds us to vigilantly watch for the sinful thoughts and actions so we can avoid them. God knows that in spite of our good intentions, we all sin. I asked earlier, how do we rid ourselves of sin in our lives? One point and a final scripture. When asking for God's help, Matthew 6:33, this is where it starts. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. We do this one day at a time, keeping this comforting thought in verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. It's sufficient for the days of its own. Yes, there will be other sins to flesh out, but we must keep practicing until we get it right with Jesus Christ working in us. And pray, your kingdom come, your will be done.